It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study right now is in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 1, and we've been reading about the great things that God has for us, how that we have eternal life and that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and that is the Holy Spirit, that is, He is God. And that we also saw how that Paul the Apostle prayed for the people at the church at Ephesus. But I remind you that Paul the Apostle wrote these words down under the inspiration of God. This book that I'm looking at right now is the inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. That means that every word in here is inspired of God. There's no mistake that God wanted this book written the way it's written right now. And as we get back into the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, I remind you once again that Paul the Apostle did pray for these people at the church at Ephesus. But as we look at this, we see that I believe that he's praying for us as well. And there are certain things that he was praying for us about. And he said that in verse 16 that he would cease not to give thanks for you. And that's not only the church at Ephesus, and those people who had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, but that's for us today, for you, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He prayed to God for us and for the people at Ephesus. Verse 17. Now, this is some of the things that Paul was praying for us about and for the church at Ephesus. In verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, do not forget that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. And he's reminding us of that here in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, Solomon, according to the Word of God, was the wisest person who ever lived. But do you know that we have the Holy Spirit of God right now? And that is according to verse 13 of the chapter we're reading. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. But we have the Holy Spirit, and therefore we do have wisdom. But we're to pray for more wisdom. We're to pray. Now, I thank God that you had enough wisdom to ask Jesus to come into your heart. But it goes beyond that. We now have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we can have the wisdom of God more and more every day as we live our lives in this life by asking Him, Lord, increase my wisdom. Help me to understand things, Lord. Help me to understand your things. And Paul said that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, we are to pray and ask God to reveal the things to us that He once revealed. We're not going to understand everything, but the more we live, the more we get into the Word of God, the more we're going to understand, and the more He's going to reveal to us, and He's going to give us the wisdom that we need to be able to do the things that He wants us to do and to understand the things He wants us to do. Have the wisdom to do those things. Wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Him, in the knowledge of Him. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle here was praying for us. He's praying for us that we would have wisdom, that we would be able to have the revelation of God, and the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of knowing more and more about God, more and more about Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, our eyes, it's like, just like Paul the Apostle was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord came to him there, and the Bible says that he fell to the ground. Paul the Apostle fell to the ground. His name was Saul at that time, of course. He fell to the ground, and the Lord dealt with his heart, and Paul got saved. And then the Bible tells us that his eyes were blinded. Now, his eyes were blinded until he met a man by the name of Ananias. And as Ananias talked to Paul, he said, receive your sight. And it was as though scales fell from Paul's eyes, and he could see things more clearly. Now, he got saved on the road to Damascus, but he started seeing things more clearly once those scales as such, and it wasn't real scales, it was something that his eyes were blinded. And let's liken this to spiritual blindness. In other words, a person is blinded by Satan until they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then, after salvation, we can become enlightened more and more daily. It's like those scales that fell from the eyes of Paul. Once again, not physical scales, but he was able to see things spiritually. He was able to converse with God the Father. And as he conversed, the more he grew in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he's praying for these people at Ephesus right now and for us, that just as he could see things more clearly once those things that we call scales fell from his eyes, the blindness that kept him from seeing the things of God, he was able to see because he had given his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a saved man on his way to heaven. And if you've trusted Jesus, you too are on your way to heaven, and you too can start seeing those spiritual things that he has for you by getting into his word. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's praying, Paul is here, that the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, you're able to see more because you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Now, God wants us to see the things that he has for us. And many times I believe we fall short of receiving everything that God wants us to see. The more we get into his word, the more we're going to see. The more we live for him, the more we serve him, the more we do things for him, the more we're going to see from God's Word. The Word of God will open up to us, and we'll be able to see those things that some people call a mystery. But God reveals those mysteries to us because we are the children of God. Paul says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? He wants us to see the greatness of God's power to usward. He had enough power that he saved us. There was enough power that Jesus raised himself from the dead, according to the Bible. After he was crucified and buried, he rose from the grave under his power. He's God, and he's alive today because he is God, and he wants to save every person in this world, and he wants you and I who know him as Savior to learn the things of God. And what is the exceeding greatness, Paul says in verse 19, of his power to us? We have the power of God right now. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we fear, many times we fear the face of man. We get concerned about what's people going to think about me if I tell other people about Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says that they need to think something good about you, but all people won't. They will not say good things about you. Some people won't. They won't think good things about you. Some people won't. But there are others who, when you live for the Lord and they know you're living for the Lord and you're telling them about Jesus Christ, they're going to respect you because you're living for the Son of God. And because you're living for the Son of God, you're letting them know that they too can live for the Son of God by trusting him as Lord and Savior. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory is, inheritance in saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall receive power. What is that power? That power is to be witnesses of him throughout all the world, wherever you're at, wherever I'm at. We're to be witnesses for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How can you do that? You have the power of the Holy Spirit living within you, and that's how you have the power. It's not in your own power, but it is in the power of God, power of the Holy Spirit. If you try to do things on your own, you're going to fail miserably as a child of God. But if you depend upon the Lord to lead and guide you and do what He says, be witnesses for Him, be a witness for Him, and let Him lead and guide your life. You're a saved person, and you have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit living within you, and you have the power of God. Once again, chapter 1 and verse 8 of the book of Acts says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come." And He's come to you, the Bible tells us, in verse 13 of the chapter we're reading, Ephesians chapter 1, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You have no excuse. You are to be serving God today. Well, notice, Paul prayed for us that we would do these things, that we would know what we have in Jesus Christ. We would have wisdom. We would have understanding. We would receive what God wants for us from His Word, the knowledge. And verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. God is in heavenly places with my Savior right now. My Savior is with my Heavenly Father right now in heaven. Let's read that verse again. Verse 20, chapter 1 of Ephesians. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And you know, the Bible teaches me that I'm just as good as being there right now, because He sees me seated with Him in heavenly places, just as Paul is saying here that Jesus is there right now. But in the sight of God, I'm just as good as being there right now, because I'm sealed by His Holy Spirit. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Chapter 8 of the book of Romans talks about that. Verse 21, Ephesians chapter 1. Now let's go back and read verse 20 again with verse 21. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Well, one thing comes to my mind, more than one thing, but back here in that verse, in verse 21, says far above all principality. Now, as we study the Word of God, we see that the devil is the principality of the air. In other words, he has control of the air around us. He's here. The devil is not in heaven. The devil is not in hell. He's not in the lake of fire at this time, but he's with us. He's here. And he is an adversary that walketh about as a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. He's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour every person in this world. He wants every person in this world to go to hell. Well, he's the prince and the power of the air, according to the Word of God. But notice where God is and where Jesus is. He's far above, verse 21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. He's above the devil. Satan fell from heaven because he said he would be greater than God, that he wanted to be as God. And then he said he would be greater than God. And God said, get out of my heaven. And he kicked him out. God is above all principality and power, because he is all powerful. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of life. He is the sustainer of everyone. And by that, we know that he has the power. Not only did he raise Christ from the dead, not only did Christ raise from the dead, he's God, but he's able to take care of us and take us to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.